Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Today the Lord gave me a word to share with you, dealing with the grace of becoming. Say the grace of becoming. And you'll see on the screen a graphic there, and that is the head of a sculpture called David. And that sculpture was done by Michelangelo, famous sculptor. And you're going to learn today that God has given us grace to become. And one thing Michelangelo said, and a quote is hard to see, but it's on the screen there. He said that every block of stone has a statue inside of it, and it is the task of the sculptor to discover it. And that was an interesting quote, because the whole concept of becoming really begins with what already is. We don't become something from nothing. Amen. We become something from what is already on the inside of us through Christ. So we're going to read today some scriptures. We're going to first go to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read verse 6 through 10. It reads as follows. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Again, verse 10, you are complete, not incomplete, but complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. The Berean literal Bible reads it this way, verse 10, and you are complete in him who is the head of all rule and authority. The grace of becoming. Everything that we are and are becoming is by the grace of God. We know grace, we always define grace as unmerited favor. Grace is everything God has that he makes available to you. Grace is to God what money is to the bank. God has enough grace to do anything and everything in our lives, including, and most importantly, our salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith. When we say we have grace to become, think of it not as becoming something from nothing, but becoming something from what God has already put on the inside of you. Now, the good news is this. When we became Christians, became believers in Christ, he put in us spiritual DNA. It's sort of like what happens when we're born. Every person conceived in the womb is embodied with what's called DNA, which is instructions, chemical instructions on what the whole body becomes. You know about that. And you're born with all the DNA you'll ever need. Amen? We have, in Christ, everything we need for the rest of our lives in Christ. You believe that? Amen. That's why it says you are complete in Christ. You don't start incomplete. You start complete. So the first day you were saved, you had in Christ everything you needed for the whole of your Christian life. Hallelujah. You started with it. Like a child starts with everything he or she needs. However, there needs to be something called growth and development. Amen. The child must grow. The child must develop. We must grow. We must develop. I would also say that for believers, we also need to recognize what we have in Christ. We're new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, in school, when you take advanced courses like calculus or in high school, in college, everything's advanced somewhat, you have to sometime, before you can take this class over here, you must take prerequisite courses over there. So the prerequisite courses prepare you for the advanced courses. I suggest to you that in Christ, you have all the prerequisites that you need. All your prerequisites are complete in Christ. You have the foundation for everything you need, including, he says here, the measure of faith. God even gives us enough faith to believe him. He gives us everything we need to begin a life of purpose and victory. Amen? Amen. Now, Philemon 6 says this, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ. So then you have all you need. You are complete in him. You have God's DNA, if you will. So now we need to become effective by acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ. Lord, say, Father, help me recognize every good thing that is in me because of Jesus. If we don't have that basic understanding and accept we are complete in Christ, you have all the goods on the inside, then we cannot advance without first starting with knowing what we already have. And don't let anybody tell you you don't have what you need in Jesus. Don't let anybody tell you you are not who God said you are. Now listen, there is a pathology in our community, among our people, I mean some black folks, that we act like sometimes we just were born backwards. We act like, you know, we got off the slave boat yesterday and still got the chains on us. Man, people fought too hard and too long to set us free for us to think like that. People, your parents and great grandparents, man, they fought too hard for our freedom for us to act like we don't have what we have. At the same time, people who don't have Christ, then they got a real problem because all these scriptures don't belong to folks who aren't saved. So unsaved people have a lot of problems, obviously. And then those who become saved have to have their minds renewed. So I'm not dismissing the need for deliverance and all that. I'm just saying that you must recognize you're starting from a point of strength. You don't start in weakness with Christ. You don't start with Christ in weakness. You start in strength and completeness, even though you're undeveloped. Amen, somebody? We got these big athletes running around. We got, you know, LeBron James, and of course Shaquille O'Neal, who's retired now. But he's still big, you know. He's even bigger now, you know. 7'1". Huge. I met Clark Kellogg. We played golf. Myself and Ken Johnson played golf. And Clark Kellogg was like 6'7". And Clark said, if I stand behind Shaq, you won't see no part of me. And he was 6'7", okay, 280. My point is this. Shaquille O'Neal, as a newborn baby, 8, 9, 10 pounds, whatever he was, everything was already in him to become what he became. You follow me? Everybody starts out in your natural life with all the DNA that you need. We start in Jesus with everything we need. So the grace of becoming begins with recognizing what you already have. Say, Lord, thank you. I'm going to recognize what I already have. So then, like Michelangelo, the sculptor who, again, created great sculptures and artistic works, his method, that sculpture on the screen there of David, that was carved. He actually had a chisel and a hammer, and he carved stone to make that. All the eyes, the nose, the lips, it was carvings, months and months and probably years of carving and then smoothing to get that form. And the thing with Michelangelo was he started with seeing that in the stone. He saw that form in the stone. He didn't have, didn't have 3D imaging and lasers. I'm talking about back in the day before they had any of that stuff. He had his mind, his hands, and a big block of stone and tools. So he had to see where the head was, where the shoulder was, where the chest, I mean, he didn't even kind of tilt it. He saw the tilt and the lean. He saw everything in the stone as he was chiseling. My point is, you have to start from a point of completion. You can't start from a point of, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to throw my hands up. You can't start like that or live like that. So I can't start like that. And I cannot live like that. My point to you is, just as Michelangelo saw the form in the block of stone, even so, the grace of becoming involves seeing the form inside of yourself, inside your circumstances, inside of whatever you want to do. You need to see it first. And that's the real secret to these athletes who do these amazing things. They don't think like we think. They think differently than we think. For example, a great athlete, let's say, for example, a golfer, Tiger Woods, when he was really great, he had a flash of it last spring in Masters. He knows his body don't cooperate anymore, but his mind knows. The point is, if they hit a bad shot, okay, if I hit a bad shot, I'm like, I hit a bad shot, and I see the shot going sideways, and I go to the next hole, and I still see the shot going sideways. The last shot went sideways. But champions, they forget stuff. They forget mistakes. They forget faults. They dismiss stuff totally. And they go to the next hole, the next event, with a clear mind, thinking, well, I'm going to get this. I'm going to nail this right here. These athletes, these folks in life, I mean, whoever it is, They have a grace of becoming. They see inside. They see the form inside of the stone or inside the circumstance or inside whatever they're doing. They see it on the inside of it and just reveal it. They don't think about making it. They think about revealing it. It's already in me. Let me bring it out. Amen? A lot of guys can run and jump. A lot of guys can run, jump, everything. But some guys, they just can't lock their mind in on the purpose and task and keep it there. Now, in order to maximize who you are and what you are becoming, it's important to be clear about what you are not. I'm going to call this the gift of limitation. Say the gift. Of limitation. That sounds bad, but hear me out. If you can be clear about what you're not designed to do, you can become clearer about what you are designed to do. All right, case in point, those singing shows, American Idol kind of shows. I mean, the first two episodes. When people show up saying, I can sing, and they can't sing. And so what happens is, if they would accept the gift of limitation and say, I'm not a singer, no way, shape, form, or fashion, I can then focus on what my gift really is. Think about how bad it must be and distracting it must be to focus on something one isn't even about and miss what you really should be, right? So I'm saying there's a gift and limitation in the sense that I'm not going to be stuck and caught up in things that are just not for me. I'm going to focus on what is for me. Now, don't get it twisted. Because I'm not saying you should be limited in what you think you can do. Oh, listen, what you can and should do, you should not be limited about that. I mean, you may struggle at math, but you can still do it. There's no limitation. There's no design limitation with you doing math. It's limitation of application, putting your mind on something. Amen? For example, my laptop computer cannot make pancakes. I know it sounds silly, but think about it. It's obviously true. Your laptop cannot make pancakes. It can't brew coffee. It wasn't designed for that. It cannot do what it was not designed to do. But my laptop can help me produce videos. I can design flyers and do all kind of processing. It was designed for that. So if we stop trying to force ourselves into modes and places where we're not designed, you can then spend more time focusing on what you are designed. We have been, I believe, too guilty of literally wasting our time on things and even some people who are not a part of our design and purpose. So what you want to do is get as fast as you can back to what you're designed to do. Amen, somebody? And that's part of the grace of becoming. So when you accept what you cannot change, it pushes you to focus on what you can change. Say that. Say, when I accept what I cannot change, it pushes me to focus on what I can change. Amen. And it's tough. Now, listen, for people of faith, it's difficult for us to make that decision. We're hopeful. We have faith. But if some things are not in the design of God for you, and some things the season has passed for that or the other. So it's good to accept that and move on to what God has designed you to do. Amen. In this time for your life. You believe that? How do you get somebody to accept that? I don't know. It's tough. You know, and you hate me the one to tell people that because they resent that, you know. So you almost have to always let somebody fall on their face 3 or 4 times. Then they get a clue, then you can talk to them. But it shouldn't take that. We need to have open ears, open eyes, open hearts, and be teachable. Let somebody talk to us about what we're dealing with. Because the sooner you make that correction, the quicker you can get on to what you're designed to do. And you will prosper and flourish and be happy and blessed in what you're designed to do. All right. Now, listen, I say all that sounds great, but there is something called WORK. And we all got jobs and had jobs you had to do. You know, I wasn't designed for this, but I got to do this. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't designed. You know, I had all kind of jobs. I had jobs. I was even hauling garbage. My uncle, I hauled garbage on the back of his truck. I did that. I did busting down walls and clearing off the mortar off the bricks and stacking the bricks up in the back of a pickup truck and all. A lot of different stuff. Always knowing I'm not designed for this. I was a kid and knew that. I even had a manpower job. You know my story, manpower. When it got called for manpower to a machine shop, cleaned the whole machine shop up, it was spick and span. They said, man, we want to hire you. I said, you ain't hiring me. I don't want to work here. This is how I work when I'm working. But I ain't, don't get the idea that I want to do this every day. This was my job today. Amen? But good point, though. Listen, y'all, this is a very good point. even when you don't feel gifted to do something or called to do something, you better do it well, because God is watching. He that's faithful in least is faithful in much. And listen, y'all, and a boss will often hire you and give you a task you probably won't like to see how you handle it. They want to see, who am I dealing with here? Because see, character doesn't care if it's a job I want or a job I don't want. People of character are going to do the job and do it well, whether they hate it or love it. They're going to do it like it's supposed to be done. Amen. All right, let me go on. And that's part of the grace of becoming, by the way. How you handle yourself in those lesser seasons of life, in the unpleasant things, things you don't want to do and deal with, how you handle that really determines how God's going to use you going forward. That's part of the grace of becoming. Now look at Romans 12 again. Romans 12, verse 3. Again, he said, for I say, through the grace of God given to me, it's Apostle Paul speaking, to everyone who is among you, don't think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Now listen, he did not say, listen to me, don't think about yourself. He didn't say don't think of yourself. He said specifically, think soberly, don't think more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly. Seriously, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Well, what it's saying is really quite simple. The reason you shouldn't think more highly of yourself is because you're not that person. You're not the person you're pretending to be. Nobody can pretend to be somebody else. Not for long. Not for long. Don't think more highly of yourself because that's not you. That's simple. It's just not you. But think soberly, seriously, as you have the measure of faith. So you've got enough faith to believe who you are and what God's given you. Like I always tell you, have faith in God and confidence in what God gave you. Have faith in God. Say it. Say, have faith in God and confidence in what God gave me. He said, first of all, don't think of yourself more highly, but then he said, but think soberly, or think of yourself soberly. Do think of yourself. Keep it in perspective. Don't think too small. Don't think too big. Because who you are is enough. Say, who I am is enough. It really is. Sometimes you get lost in comparisons. You see yourself in a place where I'm not much, I don't have much. But you're making a mistake doing that because God never designed you to compare yourself with others. God made you unique. And you got stuff nobody else has. You can do things nobody else can do. So embrace that. Embrace that uniqueness. Please do that. That's why it's a shame. Don't become, listen, y'all. I mean, I like watching things and I know about celebrities and things, but just don't get caught up with some celebrity, you know, because they don't know you. That's the most important part. They don't even know who you are. You know what I'm saying? You know, come on, somebody. I don't want to drop any names, but we all know about celebrities. Oh, man, Denzel. That Denzel, my man. He don't know you. You don't know him. I like Denzel's work. All right? I mean, a campaign came out years ago at Be Like Mike, Michael Jordan commercial years ago. Be like Mike, be like Mike, be like Mike. You better be yourself. You can't be Mike, 6'6", jump out the gym, and got a gambling addiction. I'm sorry to say it happened. Don't be like Mike. What you mean is you want Mike's money. That's what you want to say. Say, I wanted the money. Just say what you mean. I want his money. His fame, his fortune. All right. Now, also he said in the text here, all right, so don't think more highly. It's a waste of thought, waste of time, waste of energy. Don't think outside of your design. It's not helpful. See? I love discussions. I like reading and studying and researching. I love it. But I just know when not to get my mind on some stuff because it's not for me. I could use this time to learn about this over here instead. I could learn more about this other thing that helps me help people. You follow me? So I've learned to not spend much time on things like that. In fact, I've been in discussions where they got so far past me, I walked away and no one missed me. I started walking backwards like this. And I was gone. They didn't miss me. You know, you don't belong someplace when nobody misses you when you're gone. You know what I'm saying? All right. To think soberly. It means to be of sound mind, to be in one's right mind, exercise self-control, to moderate oneself, to curb your passions. That's thinking soberly. Look at Matthew 25. Let's finish up here. Look at story of the talents. I won't read all this, but Matthew 25, let me summarize it for you. The story, you know, it starts out by saying, verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to one, to another 2, and another 1. Each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Now, the story you know, the talents was money, by the way, not singing and artwork, it was money. So he gave one man 5 talents of money, one man 2 talents of money, and one man he gave 1. And what happened was, the Bible says that the first 2 guys took the 5, took the 2, and exchanged it and invested it and brought back more. They made an eternal investment. The person who had 1 talent, he hid it and buried it. When the man came back to ask about how they did with the money, with the investments, the first 2 guys said, yeah, we took the 5 and here's 5 more. Took the 2, here's 2 more. But the other man said, I was afraid, so I hid it. And now here is what you gave me. He's like, see, I played it safe. Aren't you proud of me for playing it safe? But no, the point was to invest it. But he felt afraid of losing it, so he would not use it. That's the mistake we make sometimes. I think we have too little to risk. Don't take any chances. Play it safe. But the servant called that man wicked and lazy. It's pretty strong words. But the point of that story was simply this, that the great mistake the man with the 1 talent made was this. He desired to keep things exactly as they were. That was his mistake. That's our mistake sometimes. We want to keep things exactly as they are. That's not why God saved you. Amen. It's not why God gave you gifts. It's not why he gave you grace. It's not why he gave you money or gave you life. God gave you everything he intends because he intends for you to grow it and develop it. To whom much is given, that's why I do a lot of things. I've been given a whole lot. Y'all know that. I get criticized for it sometimes. You're doing too much. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do with what I got, and I got a lot. It's actually a burden. It's a great burden to me, but not a bad burden. It's a burden of responsibility, and I accept it. You go through things, and I'm going to make this. I'm going to get through. Listen to me. You were built for this. What are you talking about? Somebody called me and said, Pastor, I'm worried about you, concerned about you. For what? All this you're dealing with. I was built for this. Hear me. When you built for something, you can do it. Not without struggle, not without heartbreak, not without need for rest. All the above. But to whom much is given. And I will not be like that one guy who hid what he had and gave and showed the master what he already had received. No development, no growth, no risk, no investment. That don't bring a reward, that brings a rebuke. Let me show you a video real quick about what it looks like. Going back to what we see in Michelangelo and about the point we made about grace of becoming is about seeing a form inside of something. Watch the video.
We were in this yard looking at this field of pretty solid cars, and I actually really fell in love with this one, a 1960 Ford two-door station wagon. Yeah, that's a solid body, you know. Tom Cross, I said, Tom, do you have compound and a rag? It was kind of dingy like this, you know, like kind of dingy desert dirt. And I polished a little piece of the fender. You might remember it. Polished a little piece of the fender, and it shined. He fires up his forklift and comes over and moves the car over there and moves the car over there and picks his car up and brings to the shop. And then we hooked up the buffer, and I buffed out this fender. Oh, my goodness. This car is too good to be thrown away. And Tom was getting ready to crush these cars. I've had them here for 30 years. So this car was talking to me, and this car had good bones. And this car, I couldn't get it out of my mind. So on the way home and over the next couple of days, I thought about it. And we decided we'll just make a project car out of this. And so Tom has been an active participant and partner in a project of taking that junkyard wagon and turning it into something pretty special. Let's show these people what this has turned into.
Folk thought he was crazy when he told them when he saw this beautiful car. That's a whole field of junk cars. To us, junky cars. This one's just speaking to me. He got good bones. What are you talking about, man? But he saw something, didn't he? You got to see it before it's going to happen. And when you see stuff and folk don't see it with you, or they criticize what you think you see, just put them on the sidelines quickly, right? Folk who can't see what you see, that's their prerogative, that's their right. But don't let people in your life, in your inner circle, who can't see, because they're going to slow you down or discourage you and make you think you can't do what you clearly know you can do, right? So the grace of becoming is about seeing the form inside the circumstance, inside yourself, inside an old car, whatever it is. Now, certainly, to bring that car to the state you saw it, it wasn't magic. It had a lot of work, a whole year it took to bring the car back. Lots of people helped on that too, by the way. Gave parts, all that. So you'd be encouraged that the grace of becoming is not easy, but it begins with you knowing you are complete in Christ. You're complete. You have what you need. You've got the goods to do what God wants you to do. Say, Lord, I thank you. I've got the goods to do what you want me to do. All right, two last points. There was a young man named Johnny Manziel. If you follow football, you know about Johnny Manziel. He played for a team in Texas, I believe, a college team in Texas, was drafted number one draft, Heisman Trophy winner in college, number one draft by Cleveland Browns, NFL. And he got to the Browns and just washed out. He didn't do well. And looking back on it, everyone recognized, and himself even lately he recognized, that he was operating off a lot of talent, off a lot of ability he displayed in college, that wouldn't transfer to NFL. For example, in college, he's a quarterback. In college, he go back with the ball looking to pass the ball, right? If the guy he wanted to pass the ball to was covered, he'd take off running. He was elusive and amazing, would run like crazy and make amazing plays on the run. In the NFL, when he tried that, the lineman caught him. Because the linemen and the linebackers were as fast as him. He played against boys in college. These are men over here. And a brother, a linebacker, will catch you. He outrun linebackers. Everybody, he ran past people in college. In the NFL, like, boy, come here. Snatched him up, threw him down. Now, he could have improved, though, but he wouldn't work. He could have gotten better at passing and looking for different targets to pass to. See, listen, a good quarterback has options. He'll see one person and change and see another person to throw to. Manziel wouldn't work at that. He would look for one guy to pass it to. If he didn't see him, he'd give it up and run. Now, I heard this said. It says, the saying is, hard work always beats talent when talent does not work hard. That is very true. Hard work always beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. So Manziel found out all his talent. He was a highly gifted, talented guy, but wouldn't put, he partied and all that stuff. Now, again, he's lately come around, but now it's too late to be an NFL quarterback. He's playing for somebody else now. So then, you know, please understand, you may have gifts and talents. We all have something. And I always tell you, talent is overrated. Hard work is underrated. But you have talent and you work at it, you can be really good at stuff, combining those two together. Finally, let me ask you some questions. What do you need to develop inside of yourself? What form do you see in yourself that needs to be released? What gift or talent do you have that you're not giving to God? And what are you not, in what areas are you not putting in the work to be better? How have you not recognized your completeness in Christ and your spiritual DNA? Some questions. Because these questions will help you get to the point of recognizing that you have what you need. Just have to recognize it, let God help you work on it, and to bring it forth from your life. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, thank you for your word today.